All right, guys, welcome back. Going into the third hour here of week 49. Adam, what's going on?
So I think that we come back from the commercial and we fade in on what looks like a classroom. It's a little bit grubby. It's mostly empty. There's a bunch of like kids' desks. There's a the future equivalent of a chalkboard, like a big hollow board with some like kids' drawings on it. And we see with the casting for this show, we can imagine we had like $1 million budget for every episode. The casting is perfect. There's this kid who just at a glance, we know by seeing her, she's Piani. Like we just know. And she's about like 10 or 11. And she's sitting at a chair at the like teacher's desk. And we can't see the teacher. The teacher is like behind her. We're looking at her face. And the teacher's voice, we can hear it. A man's voice says, now, Piani, I'm going to roll this die. And we see his hand, and he holds up a six-sided, regular plastic, like six-sided die. And he's like, I'm going to roll this die, but before I do, I need you to tell me what number it's going to be. And Piani looks up, kind of like squinches her little face up and kind of stares at it. She's like,
fucking nine.
Yeah, it's going to be a fucking four, you wanker. No, she's like, a four. And he's like, okay. And he goes to roll the die. And as it leaves his hand, the die splits into first six dice and then 36. And then like it expands and the room starts to turn. And we can see that there are Pianis in like every seat, some overlapping, doing different things. Some of them are drawing. Some of them are standing. Some are sitting. And the whole room and everything in it is made up of the sort of thousands and thousands of like overlapping potentials of what could happen. And then we cut to the surface of the desk, like plain and clear, a little bit scratched up, and the die bounces, rolls a couple of times and lands on the number that she called. And Piani smiles as if she's, you know, like gotten something right or done something right. And we pan away from her and we see sitting across from her at the desk, we see Victor. You see Victor Kovacs, but like half of his face is kind of like rotted away, and he just nods, and in the Warmind's voice he says, very good. And we like snap back to the swan song, and we see, I think, Kia, we see you kind of like start, like you've fallen asleep poring over these logs, and then we see you like startle, and on your face there's this expression of like trying to remember something that happened. Like you're like, there's the dream is on the tip of your tongue and then it's gone. Like, you know, you dreamt something, but it vanishes for you. And yeah. And I think you hear, maybe you're alone, like in the mess hall or something. Like, has the crew been giving Kia kind of like a wide berth to study? Cause you've been like working and looking over scripture for a while. Eric, I know you said you were there, right?
Yeah. I think Eric was trying to study alongside her, but specifically like, whereas Kia is searching for, you know, religious answers and also the key to like what links her to Piani, Eric is looking at Piani's like writings with an eye towards trying to figure out what was going on with her visions. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily as relevant to the current situation, though he's like got an eye out for that as well, but just like, oh wow, there's all this precognitive stuff and wow, lots of it is relevant to Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. So I think Eric is looking at this through a different lens.
So the two of you are in the same room together.
Yeah.
Quietly. Okay. Cameron's asleep. He's like fallen asleep on his arm, like on the chair. Alfarious, you and Higgs, where did you go? Are you still on the ship? Have you left to do something? I want to kind of see where the two of you are at.
I'm just with Higgs.
Yeah, I think we're just sitting in the mess hall. I just have like a drink in front of me and Alfarious is drinking whatever a cyborg drinks.
Oil.
Say, like water, like a person. Oh god.
Yeah,
it's probably my meal. It's like a nutrient compound or something like that.
Yeah. Nice. And we're just okay. Like having idle banter. I'm just like, blah, 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 Kia, blah, 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 Piani, that type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The two of you are just like having kind of a quiet conversation. Okay. All right. Yeah. So Kia, you kind of start. And I think Pi notices. And Pi is like, Kia, are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm sorry, I just was startled from my sleep.
You look stressed out. Do you need anything?
I guess there's like these awkward pauses because I'm like, I've never really talked to a computer like this before, and it is kind of weird. And so I'm like, well, I need answers.
I'd like to show you something. Will you come with me? And you see on the floor, like a little like running light sequence starts to like blink down a hallway.
Okay. Sure. I'd like
to see. So Higgs, you notice Kia stand up, I guess. And like, you, I mean, you overheard that conversation. It was quiet, but.
What, just in the mess hall?
Yeah. Yeah. Pi was like, I want to show you something.
Okay. Yeah. I get up and follow. Okay. I don't make, like, I'm not sneaking around, but I'm not just like,
you're just kind of being ominous. Like,
yeah. Hovering. I'm not asking for permission. I'm just kind of there. So
It's your fucking ship. You don't need to ask permission.
Yeah.
Okay. So the running lights lead you down the hallway, and you immediately, Higgs, you know where this is going. Like, Pi is leading, leading Kia to Piani's room.
Yeah. I guess when we get like right outside the door, I'm just like, Pi, what's the, why does she need to go in there?
I just need to talk to Kia for a moment.
So talk right here.
No, this is a private matter. I'm sorry, Higgs. I'll try to explain it to you later, but I just need a second, okay?
I kind of just like look up and roll my eyes. I'm like turn to Kia and if you touch anything, if you steal anything, if you fuck the room up, if you do anything that I don't like, I'm going to kill your friend. So don't do anything I don't like. And then I just like turn around, just go back to the mess hall.
Okay. I don't give a yes. I just kind of nod my head.
Yeah. So the door just automatically opens.
And I walk in.
Okay. So you go inside. How do you feel seeing, like, what's your emotional reaction seeing this room for the first time? Like, does it feel familiar to you? Is it just like nothing? Like, what happens when you walk in?
I mean, unless I've like seen this specific.
No, room, no, you've never like physically or in a dream. Like, it's totally brand new information for you. I'm just curious.
I guess nothing at first. Like, it's more curiosity to like look and see if I can find some answer and what could be here.
Yeah, and I think we get like a nice slow kind of pan around the room, and I always, whenever I think of Piani's room, I think of that one piece of fan art. You remember the one? Like, it's just like that's like burned in my head. There's like a crate of flares in one corner. It's just like pop it and drop it on the side and spray paint. There's like the computer with all the monitors. One of the monitors has like a photo like kind of stuck in the corner of like a kid. He can't be more than like 18. Like this like Chinese kid in a like mechanics outfit posing with a girl that looks just like you. You know, there's like the sort of bunk beds and like cabling hanging from the ceiling, and the whole place is like a little, it's like really lived in. And the door closes behind you when you step in.
So, I mean, I think the pictures probably speak the loudest to me because, you know, like seeing digital pictures and whatnot, but seeing any sort of physical picture that represents that is definitely interesting.
But yeah, I think do you take the picture and take a look at it?
Yeah, I definitely look at it.
Okay. A voice comes over when you take it and you like take a look at a voice comes over the speakers and they say, the voice says, that's Piani and Wu. He used to be the mechanic.
Used to be.
He's dead now. That kind of happens to a lot of people that get on this ship.
I'm like kind of, you know, taken back by that statement. And I say, this isn't what you wanted to show me, is it?
No. I need you to do something for me, Kia. Sit down, please. And the monitors all like blink on.
Okay. I sit down.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. You see, I have something. It's a gift that was given to me by a relative some time ago. I haven't been able to unlock it, but I think you can help. I'm going to ask you for a prompt, a password, if you like. I want you to just type in whatever the first thing that comes to mind is.
And what would we accomplish by me guessing this password?
I have a theory. I just need you to help me test it.
You'll understand that I need to a little bit more than that to go off of.
I wish I could tell you more. Think of it as a present. Only I can't unwrap it myself. I know this might be confusing to you because of the way you think about us. But humor me, please.
I think you see for a moment that furious pacing happen in the room. It has to even like prop pie to be like, oh,
they're, I think we see the whole thing in the like silent, unblinking, perfect glass eye of Pi's camera, right? We just see you like pace back and forth a couple of times.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm like, this is actually like a rough moment because, you know, I would just be like, sure, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like, as almost as I'm about to just like start typing the first letter, I
start. You're dead.
And I say, I say, I don't understand what I could possibly gain from this unless you can give me some indication that behind this prompt is the answers I seek.
That's what I'm hoping. That's what we get. Answers. I promise I'll share whatever I find with you. With everyone.
All right.
And you're a crystal.
I type something into the prompt.
Okay, so yeah, we see you sit down, and yeah, there's just like a blinking, like, enter password, like, field. If you have something in mind in particular, then maybe we see it as text, but otherwise we just see it as like a string of asterisks.
The word binds us is what I end up putting in.
Okay. So you type that in, you hit enter. A screen comes up, it says processing, and then it says password accepted. And we get a kind of like the CG kind of like the inside of a computer like thing where we can see like a block of like red kind of light that's designed to like obviously be like a locked file. And as you type in the password, it changes and it becomes like a light blue and starts to take itself apart. Like little cores sort of come off of it, these little cubes, and they sort of spread themselves out. And as we zoom out, we see them inserting themselves into the code of the larger system that it's a part of. And then we just hear a voice. You hear the voice. We come back to Kia. And it says, huh. Well, that's interesting. Thank you.
What's interesting? You said you would share everything with me.
I will, once I understand it. I'm glad the crew brought you back. I hope you find what you're looking for.
I think Kia will remember this pops up, and then I like kind of leave the room feeling like maybe I just got bamboozled.
And I think that as you're about to leave, the door, like you stand in front of the door waiting for it to open and it hesitates for a second. And Pi says, you're more like her than I expected. And then it like slides open.
And then I leave.
Okay.
Don't acknowledge that. Yeah.
All right. So Eric, what are you doing while this is happening? Because you said you were doing some research and
yeah, I guess like I've been kind of burning the midnight oil a bit. So I go through like you know Peony's dream journal as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there anything that jumps out at me when I like study it from a you know a practicing psychic perspective?
Yeah. There's like a research skill, right?
Is there? If there is, I feel like Eric should have it. No, there's not. There's a science skill.
Okay. Well, why don't you just, because this is kind of like you're trying to get her psychology, right? Like trying to figure out what her deal is when you're reading it.
Sure. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, it's not really, I'm not trying to like understand her psychology. I'm trying to understand her psionic experiences.
Right. Okay. Well, let's just call it Psytech then.
Okay.
That's fine by me.
Sure. Whew. Glad I got that plus two.
So, gosh. Yeah. If you had access to this like months ago, like when all this stuff started, there would have been some serious red flags. Like, Peony, by all accounts, like you, if you had seen this, you'd have been like, we need to get you to a doctor. Like she needed like some right. MRIs or something because there's something like she's losing her mind. Like the dream journal starts off pretty like had a dream. There was a wolf. Here's some stuff. And eventually just becomes this like garbled mess of like chaos. Right. And like, it's obvious to you, like you've studied in, you studied the academy, like people whose powers overwhelmed their sanity. It looks like someone who just like isn't taking their meds. Like she just kind of goes off the rail and like uses it.
I take my MES very seriously and I keep my condition very well controlled.
Yeah.
This is like the work of someone who is not doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would be very concerned about both Peony and the people around her.
Yeah. So this is like I think like as I'm reading this, like, you know, I have a lot of fondness for Peony as a friend, as a coworker. But I'm reading this and I'm kind of realizing how dangerous it is for any of us to be around her and how, like, if we get her back, basically the first thing that needs to happen is we put some sort of psychic lock on her and take her to a hospital. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That's all very interesting. Like, obviously it's like chock full of like Norse symbolism and imagery, which is very
strange. And I think it's been a long time since you've been home in a like cultural way, since you've like been like, cool, I'm going to like go home and hang out with my peeps, but definitely like taking it home and taking it to like a gothi or something would like really be a smart move. If you're like, I'm going to need someone who knows more about the religion than this. Cause the symbology is like all over it.
Yeah. And there are, I mean, there's like the kind of psychic that is accepted on Sigrid, right? I mean, would that be a gothi?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, it would be like, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that psychic stuff, it depends on your, like your powers, right? Like if you're a telekinetic, you probably are just like use as part of your gifts from Thor or whatever. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then I wanted to like, we're still on what, Anaximander? Is that, we're on the university?
You're on the moon of Anaximander. Yeah.
Right. I'm actually going to email Erica Yamamoto, Professor Yamamoto.
Yeah, the meta psionicist.
Yeah, and I'm going to like make it a very professional, like research based inquiry regarding like meta dimensional entanglement, and you know the theories behind precognition.
Oh yeah. From a meta perspective, there's definitely like that whole multiverse theory. There's this theory that if you could access the other versions of yourself, you'd have an unlimited supply of psychic energy, right? You could perform feats unheard of.
Yeah.
And there's you know some among psychic researchers that are like, oh yeah, no, like this is how before the scream, this is how we got around, right? Like we would teleport ships because we would just use meta psionics to tie into all the infinite versions of ourselves. We have a bajillion psychic power points and then boop, we could teleport anywhere in the universe.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, okay, so like I just, you know, try to jot off a quick email, you know, very professional, very respectful, very like, I'm looking into psi crystals and meta-dimensional analyses regarding both teleportation and precognition. Sure. And I'm specifically, you know, like, I guess the theory about meta-dimensional like precognition is actually maybe a little bit of a fringe. Like, it's something that a few respected academics have put forwards, but it's not a popular or like confirmed theory. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know, I'm just looking for more information on this. If you have any leads or anybody that you think I should talk to, or if you know anything about this, I would greatly appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if you get her attention.
Yeah. Is that a culture role?
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Or a persuade.
Yeah. I think it's a persuade. It's a persuade with intelligence.
Yeah.
Because you're not trying to be charismatic exactly. You're trying to just put out, you're baiting the hook with some academic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Rook. Cool. Right. Not bad.
Okay. All right. So you write that email and send it off.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, so I think that it's a complicated success. So I think we cut to Professor Yamamoto, and she's like at home. She's got like a glass of scotch on her desk, and she's like writing a paper or something. And we hear her phone like buzz, and she looks at it and she picks it up. She sees an email from somebody she doesn't know, and she starts reading it. And then we fade over to like a kind of like plain looking, like Spartan kind of like apartment or a hotel room. It's obvious that the people who are staying here they're not living here. There's like some suitcases or something. And there are two people as we pan across the room. There's a man and a woman. They're both Hovaden. One of them is looking at a laptop and it like beeps. And he looks up, the guy looking at it looks up. And in Arabic, something that translates in the subtitles is like, ah, we've got one. And he gestures, and she comes over, and they both look, and we see your email. And I think that there are keywords like highlighted in the email.
Meta-dimensional precognition.
Yeah.
Great.
Psi crystal.
Yeah, the psi crystal is the big one for sure. And he like points it on the screen, and and then they're like, they kind of like nod at each other, and he starts to like try to trace the signal.
Yeah.
So it's gotten quite late. You haven't, like, none of you have slept in a long time. There's been some yep. excitement. Everybody's kind of in the mess hall, and it's starting to get a little like ramped and kind of like, you know, like you're all getting a little burned out. Cameron is asleep on the like vinyl kind of like couch that you have in the room. And Higgs, I think maybe you're the one that like you start to feel like, okay, I'm getting a little burned out. What do you do? Do you want to like arrange for places for Kia to sleep, or do you want to kick him off?
Does Kia come back after she was in Piani's room?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is about when you're like, you have a big yawn and you're like, oh, it's actually kind of late. And then Kia walks back in.
Okay. Yeah. That like sparks my alertness back up. Mm-hmm. I just stand up and say, what happened inside that room? Kia.
I mean, I guess like I don't have anything to hide, so I tell him exactly what happened.
Did he say why at all?
Why
Pi did such a thing?
He simply explained that once he understood it, he would let us all know what it meant.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we can't let you leave the ship, so.
I didn't intend to, not until I have at least some of the answers I'm looking for. So I hope that there's a place I can sleep.
Yeah, we'll figure some. Pi, can you have one of the robots, make a bed somewhere in the cargo area?
I can, yes.
Okay. All right, well, I'll see you in a bit. I'm going to go, I haven't slept in like 60 hours or some shit, so I'm going to go get some sleep. Alfarius, can you stay up and just make sure that nothing happens?
Yep.
All right, we'll see you guys in a bit. I just go to my room.
Okay. When you get back to your room, there's your little like message light is blinking on your console.
Yeah, I just casually hit it.
Yep. Boop. You have one email. It's from Fotenhauer High Command Ship 4, priority messaging.
Yeah, I click play or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, you hit go. It's just a text message, and it says, message received. Mr. Sakarian will send someone. Where should we send them?
I just give them
the signed. It's signed like Assistance Officer 4247566.
Yeah.
Like whoever Sakarian's like secretary is, basically.
Yeah. I just give them the coordinates of the moon.
Okay. All right. So you. They like when you hit it, a big like Fotenhauer like sigil pops up and it's like encrypting. And so it's like filling. Yeah. And then it's like encrypted, transmitting, and it sends the.
I start to like get undressed and I'm just like, Pi, there? I mean, of course you are. Pi, why the fuck did you get me out of the way with Kia? What did you do? She said you made her say some type in a password or something like that.
I was just testing a theory.
Okay, you mind looping me in on this theory?
I was given something on that space station. You remember?
Yes.
I spent some time with the Warmind.
Yeah, you know, that's not very comforting for me to hear that you didn't tell me that you were going to do something with that.
I can understand why you might feel anxious.
Yeah, because
I'm still a bit on the fence myself, but some of what I'm seeing is very interesting. It's information, quite old. I'm looking for anything that pertains to our current situation. Okay. More noise than signal now. I'm working on it, though.
Is there anything valuable in this information?
Define valuable.
Could I sell this?
I'll let you know.
Okay. Keep that as a back of your mind, you know.
I will.
Got to make money somehow. Any updates on those caterpillars?
I'm sorry. I've completely forgotten the caterpillars.
Well, you forgot your main prerogative then, Pi. I just kind of like laugh a little bit.
The prime directive.
The prime directive.
Yeah, I just laugh a little bit.
I'll see what I can do.
All right, wake me up if anything. I'll see you in a bit.
Good night, Captain.
Yeah, I just pass out.
Okay. All right. So Alpharius, what are you gonna do? Are you you're just gonna stay up and like keep an eye on shit?
Yeah, I just like make rounds and stuff like that. I'm honestly not that worried about them at all. I'm not in high alert or anything like that.
Okay, all right. So I think we see you like walking the hall, and and I think you get a message. Like you have your little like compad on, mm-hmm. and it buzzes.
I receive it. Open it up.
Yeah, you've got a message that's sent to you from an address called Loyal Children of Andoni. And it looks to be, like, it's a BCC, like, you're on it, but there are other people it was sent to.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere between, like, a call to action and, like, kind of like a political, like, diatribe about how... there are foreign forces that have like taken over the military on Andoni, and that all loyal children of this planet must return home to fight the foreign influence, and that Andoni must be free regardless of what happens. And it like talks about how, like, as you flip through it, you catch like the gist of it. I don't know. Do you stop to read the whole thing?
I think because I am on security detail in what I believe to be a very docile situation. Yeah, I read it.
Okay. All right. So you stop to read it. And yeah, and it talks about how, like foreign agents have like infiltrated the legitimate government of Andoni, and that if we don't all pitch in together, that our homeworld will be taken over by, you know, by the Cabralese or by the Purity Initiative, and like all these people are now looking hungrily towards a defenseless Andoni, and that like our mother is unprotected and we must call her children home to save her. So there's all this kind of like rhetoric about after this chaos and after the horrible things that happened to the world, it's still there, right? That there's still a chance for Andoni, but you know, that there, if we don't do something, if we don't, as foreign children as people who left the planet. If we don't all come home and protect our motherland, you know, the terrifying foreigners will take it from us. And you get to the bottom and there's a like a personal note that says, nice to meet you the other day. Thought you'd find this interesting. If you'd like to learn more, just reply.
I think we see Alpharius kind of walk with the data pad into the mess hall, pour himself a tall glass, like an impossibly tall glass of whatever Higgins drinks. He just downs it in one shot. And then he just writes something on the data pad, and you can hear the space swish of an email.
Oh my god, I need to change my email sent noise to someone saying swish.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. Okay. So, you send it. Okay. You can message me and tell me what it says in secret if you like. Cool. Okay. So with everybody kind of doing their own thing and Cameron asleep in the couch, we kind of say goodnight to the crew of the Swan Song. And and morning comes. And I guess, Eric, you probably have a reply.
Okay.
Maybe that's the first thing we see as the lights come back up. We have the like, you know, pinging of your comm pad awakening. Cool.
Yeah.
So it's from Yamamoto, and she says the reply is just, "I'm not sure if this is crazy or genius, but I'm curious either way. Are you available to meet today?"
I think I just email her back. My schedule is clear.
Okay. All right. So when you go to meet her, do you bring anybody with you, or is this a private meeting? Because you can meet her like for breakfast, basically.
Yeah, you know, brunch. Brunch is the best meal of the day.
Ancient Viking brunch.
No, I don't think there's anybody that I would want to bring. I think I make sure that I have a data pad with like some of my personal research into the psi crystals. I bring like a side-by-side photo of Piani and Kia.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, if I have like biometric data on Piani, like I have that as well. And then whatever Alpharius has scraped from Kia, I get that on there. Mm-hmm. So that I can just be like, look, this is the same person.
Right.
Like, it's not just someone who looks like her. It's the fingerprints, DNA.
Yeah, you're bringing your whole... So maybe you spend a little bit of time, like, building up your
my case.
So you don't sound like...
I bring my research, yeah.
Okay. All right, so while you're doing that, I think this is when, like, Kia, you've woken up and you, like, come into the mess hall and you see Eric awake, like, typing away on the keyboard.
Sounds like this.
So... I'm probably interested in saying, you know, like, I'm afraid my research of the text did not yield anything, but Pi, the computer, did have me, well, do something.
What did you do?
Well, he led me to Piani's room where I found some of the pictures of the woman who undoubtedly is exactly like me resided, but he had me input a prompt, a password to be specific, and
How did you know the password?
I don't know. He simply instructed me to type the first thing that came to my head. And so that is what I did.
That's very curious.
Perhaps you can learn more about that. I haven't seen Piani's diary yet.
Oh, really?
Have you? Yes, I was spending so much time on the text. Have you had a chance to review it?
It's very distressing. She's not well. And, you know, I guess, like, I reach into my bag and I pull it out and I pass it over to Kia. I say, here, maybe there will be something interesting in it for you. It's certainly interesting as a study, but I am very worried about my friend.
And what about these crystals? It seemed the conversation with Higgs you had, although I cannot say I understand it, certainly, well, it appeared as if you were confident that you understood it.
Well, Gordon's law suggests that there's metadimensional entanglement across psychic wavelengths, and when a psionic accesses their powers, they are, in fact, plucking the strands of these well, yes, it's...
You just see me sort of tune out.
Check out.
Yeah.
There are some theories that suggest that it may be possible that you and Piani are the same person, but from different versions of reality. I'm not certain how true that is, and it's hard to do research that verifies that hypothesis. There are some folks who believe that they have circumstantial evidence in support. In fact, I'm emailing one of the researchers here at Anaximander University now. We're going to have brunch, and she's going to tell me a little bit more about her own thoughts on the subject. I'm not sure how the crystals play in, honestly. I'm a little bit new to all of this.
Was Piani a good person?
Well, that's a hard question to answer.
Is she, it?
She is swore a lot.
Gray line?
She is fiercely loyal to the people she considers her friends. She has a strong personality, and she has little patience for people who lie or cheat or are dishonest. I think she has a strong moral center.
Was Piani religious?
No.
I mean, she did say Jesus Christ a lot.
Eric, I ask you these questions because the connection between myself, the new prophet, and the visions I've seen, they don't seem to be lining up as if I thought they would. In fact, I truly believe that perhaps I would find an exact answer, something that would make sense of everything happening.
I can see how that might be disappointing. If you'd like, you could come with me to meet Professor Yamamoto. She might find it interesting to speak to you and hear about your experiences.
You don't think Higgs would object?
Well, Higgs usually objects to everything.
Well, assuming you can get that cleared, I would be happy if you think it would help our situation.
All right. I'll speak with the captain. Yeah, and I slide the diary across the table to you. You can take a look at this while I go speak with him.
And I definitely just dive right in.
Okay. Yeah, I go like knock on Higgs' door.
All right, Higgs. Yeah, Higgs, you wake up to the sound of knocking on your cabin door.
Pat, what time is it?
Like earlier than you'd like it to be.
Do I recognize that it's Eric?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to be knocking so happily this early in the morning.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah.
I think maybe you're pulled out of a dream where like you hear like Piani knocking at the door, right? Like you're dreaming about like the sound of her voice somewhere far away. Yeah. There's like a thumping sound. And then when you wake up, you realize, yeah, it's somebody knocking on the door, but it's Eric. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, Pi, open the door.
Yeah, the door slides open.
I just don't move from the bed. I'm like, what is it, Eric?
I have a meeting with a professor of metapsionics at the Anaximander University to talk about the research I'm doing into the possible metadimensional precognition.
Yeah, it's a cool story. What do you want?
I'd like to bring Kia with me. I think it might help for the professor to hear her experience.
Take a Pi bot with you.
Okay. It just turns around, leaves.
Shut the door.
The door, yeah, slides shut behind him.
I go back to sleep.
Okay.
Cool. I go talk to one of the pie bots. I say, "You there, bot, follow me."
It does.
Cool. I start like marching just a little bit. Like subconsciously marching. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I go back to Kia, who's, you know, sitting in the mess hall. And I say, "All right, I think everything's okay. Mr. Higgins wanted me to take this spot with me to protect you from running away."
Protect you from running away. It's a nice, subtle way to say that.
Fine. Please inform me when we'll be leaving. Until then, I'll be researching the diary.
Oh, we technically should have left 20 minutes ago. We're going to be a little bit late.
Okay.
Okay, so we can cut to the meeting, right? So you're in like an empty cafeteria. It's like a school cafeteria. It's spring break, so no one's around.
Okay.
And it's the two of you with the one of the war bots standing nearby, just kind of like on duty, mm-hmm. cowboy hat on. We brought
Piani's diary also.
Yeah. Okay. So you're sitting there, and I think that we're catching at the like end of the like description where you're like finishing your explanation.
Here's what I think is going on.
Yeah, Professor Yamamoto. So she's like an older. She's probably in her like early to mid 60s, like Japanese woman, and she's listening like very intently. And she doesn't even like her breakfast is still like fully formed, in that untouched. She's just leaned over and like untouched. She's just like listening to you talk.
Okay.
And she's just kind of like shaking her head in surprise, and she's like, "If it's true, it's fascinating. I want to believe the things that you are saying, but I don't." And she like looks at you, Kia. She's like, "But I don't. We would need more proof."
It is extreme. I understand that extreme theories bear the burden of extreme proof. I have the biometric scans of both Piani and Miss Kia here. You can see how close they are, and in some cases are identical. I also have the video footage of Piani approaching Kia's room. This is the last time she was seen.
If you were a professor here or a student, I would suggest that you publish a paper, but as a third party, why did you contact me with this? How can I help you?
Well, really, as an independent researcher, I lack access to sufficient materials necessary for testing or verifying my theories. If you can get me research papers on the subject, laboratory time, or even contact with other people who might know more about the theories, it would be invaluable.
I think she chuckles, and she like puts her hand on yours, and she has this like, you know, like old lady kind of like wrinkled hand. She like puts this, and she's like, her hand is like warm and dry and like very kind of calming to you. Mm-hmm. She puts her hand on your hands, and she's like, "Mr. Fredheim, you are well beyond anything that the university has to offer. There is only one place in the sector where you can find the answers you're looking for. Now, you say you have some of these crystals in your possession?
Yes.
You are going to need more, a lot more. And I think, judging from your credentials, I think you know where you need to go to get them."
Kamna.
She nods. "But you are a citizen of the Caliphate, are you not?"
"Yes."
"Then you should be allowed to at least visit the planet. If I were you, that is where I would go. It is into the lion's den, but there is nothing for you here now."
"What makes you think I need more of these crystals?"
"If what you say is true, and there has been a quantum psychic convergence, you will need a quantity of these crystals to do your tests that I don't suspect you have."
"Hmm."
"They're only found in one place."
"Yes. There may be a complication regarding that."
She laughs. She's like, "It is science, Mr. Fredheim. There is always a complication."
"That's true. I guess that makes it better.
She nods. She says, I have to warn you, though. You are being watched. There are two agents of the Mbarazun on this planet. They spoke with me several days ago. I believe they are looking for you. Something to do with an explosion on Vinaya. They followed you here.
Yes. I had suspicions. I've had run-ins.
Very dangerous people. You know this. And she looks at you, Kia, and she says, if there is anyone in this sector I would avoid the attention of, it is the Mbarazun. They are very aggressive and believe that they should control these sorts of things. You are just a leaf in the wind. And she kind of like smiles at you. Be careful. If you go with Mr. Fredheim, your life will be in danger.
And then Eric is sort of like wiggling a little bit in his seat.
You're getting all excited.
And then he says, did you hear what happened with the explosion?
She nods like, I heard about it. Yes. So that was you.
Yes.
Teleportation?
Yes, exactly.
And she like hits the table. She's like, I thought so.
Yeah, and then like
fascinating.
I've I pull out a journal of my own, and I've got like some diagrams drawn and like crystal matrix of one of the crystals, and I'm like, you see, I think that, and then I start talking about like the dimensional entanglement of the crystal and how it like reacts with the subspace. Yeah,
awesome. Okay, so the two of you like talk about that. Kia, what do you do while you're having that, they're having this conversation?
You know, like I think as I'm realizing that, like, wow, I'm taking in a lot of information that I didn't know I had. But I think more than anything, I start to reflect, like, wait a second, what does this actually mean for me? Right? Like, suddenly all of the, like, we want to bring her back. We want to find her friend. We want to, like, and so I think there's some hesitation. And maybe I would, like, like to try to get there.
Yeah. And they stop and she apologizes. Like, I am sorry. We are being rude. Did you have a question, Ms. Tyree?
I've heard of Eric's theories and the thought of multiple dimensions and the fact that there were in fact two me available. And I've heard solutions, probable paths in which you can take, but in none of them have I heard the discussion of what happens to me or this Piani if you were to do what you are talking about doing.
Well, if everything goes according to Mr. Fredheim's plans, perhaps there is a way to put the two of you back where you belong. You would return to your usual place in the order of things, and so would Miss Pick. She shrugs. This is all theory, of course. We don't know what would happen.
The theory of quantum psionic entanglement does suggest that in this case, it's not so much that one of you has been destroyed or replaced, but simply that there's some sort of mix-up where parts of the universe that you belong in are connected to the parts of the universe that Piani belongs in. And what we actually have to do is reverse the entanglement. You should return to your universe and Piani to this one without any further complications. Though I have read Vaslov's theory, which is a little bit darker.
Yeah, and the two of them, like Eric and the professor, kind of share a look like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it prompts me to just say, I feel like I don't have a choice in the situation, but more or less I am being used as a playing piece. I'm failing to see what benefit I receive.
And she
pursuing something that seems so risky.
Yeah, she looks at you and she says, think about it this way, Miss Terry. If you were God and had
a single chessboard in front of you, it would be easy to keep track of all the pieces, every pawn, every knight, every bishop. But imagine God has before him millions, billions even of chessboards, and you are a pawn on one of them who has found their way to the wrong board. What Mr. Fredheim proposes is simply that we pick you up and move you to the board you belong on. This is the way of things.
What if this board is different than the one I'm currently playing on? I have no qualms with my life. In fact, I quite like it.
You are not aware of the whole board. You see only the pieces in front of you. I suspect that, according to the theory, you would not notice a difference. Everything would, as they say, go back to the way that it was before, the way it's supposed to be.
It's not so much that there's an immediate problem, Kia. The people that you've known all of your entire life, they still exist. In fact, it may simply be that it's actually we who are in the wrong timeline. But the longer that things stay entangled, the more likely it is for complications to occur between our universes, according to the theory. Further out you go from your center, the more disconnected the universe becomes from your experience.
You're saying if we don't act promptly, it could be hitting the point of no return.
The situation will degrade over time.
I think she looks at the now dormant like tablet that carried Piani's journal and says, that could be what your former crewmate was seeing in her dreams, this disentanglement. If you are going to go to Kamna, you should go quickly before the Mubarizun ask more questions.
This is Eric's decision to make. I really don't have much.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have to obviously convince Higgs to take you there, but.
Yep. Professor Yamamoto, thank you for your time.
She says to you, of course, but if you survive, you have to come back and tell me all about it.
If I survive, I will come back and publish.
She smiles and then realizes like she hasn't eaten her breakfast or whatever. She's like, I should see to this. Thank you for bringing this to me. I hope I have helped.
Yes, very much. I will write you with updates if you would like to get them.
She nods. Yes, of course, please.
Very well. I think it's time for us to go convince our captain.
Okay. So you get up and we follow you. And this is, it's a little eerie because it's like a public space that's usually full of like talk and like, you know, people, but it's just abandoned. And so we just kind of like sitting in a halfway like lit room. There's this woman who like picks up her chopsticks and eats a bit of her breakfast. And the two of you leave. And once you're gone, we hear the door close. We don't see it, but we hear like a door. It's like a little pneumatic holster, like close the door. And then she picks up her phone, presses a couple of buttons, puts her phone to her ear. And there's a moment and she's like, yes, I spoke with him. No, you were right. Yes, he's headed back to his ship now. And she like hangs up and she puts it down and she shakes her head and she's like, oh, I am sorry, Eric. Actually, she says it in Japanese. She's like, Gomen nasai, Erickson. And we see it like on the subtitles. And she like,
no.
And so we fade out on the two of you as you leave. And I guess fade in on the ship. So Alpharius and Higgs, while the two of them are off doing their science things, what are you up to? Like Higgs, you eventually wake up again after, and you vaguely remember Eric saying something about like, I'm gonna take Kia somewhere.
Yeah.
You smell like bacon cooking somewhere on the ship. Like you definitely like wake up and you're like, oh, food, bacon! Food. Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
Your stomach grumbles.
I wake up and, Pao, what time is it?
And Pao's like, 11 a.m., local adjusted time.
Is Eric back yet?
No, not yet.
Is your robot fine?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have full information from it all the time, but it's in standard mode.
Okay. Well, that's good. What's Alpharius doing?
Good question, Alpharius.
Reading the paper in the mess hall.
Okay, so we cut over to the mess hall, and you're sitting there reading the paper. You got a cup of like coffee in front of you, and Cameron is like standing over by the like food processing unit, like making some bacon, some like soy bacon or whatever on the stove, and like humming to himself. He's got a little apron on. He found it somewhere.
I like it.
Yep. So we pan back to Higgs and Pius, like, Alpharius is in the mess hall with Cameron.
Oh, God. I forgot he's still on the ship.
That's all right. These things happen. We forget about people that get on the ship all the time. Sometimes we leave the system and they're still on board.
I'm just going to ignore you for a second and ask you a different question because I don't want to talk about that. Any updates on your end with stuff?
I'm working through some of this information. It's not all encoded up to speed. I'm doing a lot of decryption. If I had somebody more experienced help, maybe, but on my own, it's going to take some time.
All right. Let me know. I'm going to go.
Of course.
I don't know. Figured waste time. Why am I saying see you soon? All right. Just fucking stop. All right. I just put on clothes and like walk out.
Okay.
Walk out of the mess hall.
So yeah, you walk out and Cameron sees you and he's like, morning, Captain. You're a late riser. I made breakfast. It got cold while you were sleeping, so I made it again.
I'm not your captain. Whatever, Cameron. All right. Just call me Higgins or Wilbur. I don't fucking don't talk to me or something.
He's like, well, I always heard it was rude to address a commander or what have you other than their title. But if you prefer Higgs, then Higgins, that's what it'll do. Say, you know when Kia and that tall feller's coming back?
I just said, don't talk to me. Did that go right over your head?
He kind of like looks down at the bacon and kind of just like nudges it around in the pan.
I kind of like look at him and feel a little bit sad. I don't know. It was a while ago. They'll be back soon. They're not in any trouble from what I've heard. So say, what are you cooking over there?
He's like, well, with the help of your computer, I found some bacon in one of the storage units. it seems like it's still good. I figured I'd make breakfast. Seeing as how, and he like looks around and he's like, I don't think this place has seen a home-cooked meal in some time.
Yeah, we don't cook much. In fact, I can't remember the last time I ate. I just go over there and start like taking a bunch of pieces of bacon.
Yeah, sure. He's like sort of piling it on a plate. He's like, yeah, it looks like the last thing anybody made on here was an omelet, like several omelets. I had to scrape eggs off this pan for about a half hour before I could use it.
Cameron, I'm going to be as honest as I've ever been with you. When Eric gets back, do not mention that you cooked or that you made something or that you saw omelets in the kitchen. You understand me?
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Of course.
That's rule number two. Rule number one is don't talk about your religion.
I got it.
Okay. And I just go down. I like throw the plate on the table and sit down next to Alpharius.
Yeah, and you recognize like the apron he's wearing is like Mr. Sakarian's like blood splattered like I'm the cook apron, right? Like yeah. He definitely had an apron that Sakarian wore a couple of times. So it's like he found a bunch of stuff on the ship and was just like, man, I'll make some bacon.
Yeah,
apron.
I like poke at the bacon and just like hold it up on the fork. Just like I haven't had cooked bacon in a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Cameron, you know that apron you're wearing? Has seen war. Do you know that? I just like take a big bite of bacon.
And he turns around and like leans against the counter. He's like, well, looks at it. He's like, doesn't look like a war apron. I figured this was ketchup.
No, the last man that wore that actually saved the ship. He killed about 7 or 8 men, if I recall correctly.
He's like, God dang. 8 whole people. That's something.
Yeah, we used to call him the cook. Well, one of his names.
Yeah, he chuckles. He's like, well, I ain't never met no cook that killed nobody.
Yeah. Jose, another name of his. He was quite the guy.
Jose Cook.
Yeah, he nods. He's like, sounds like this ship's seen some things.
Yeah, you could say that. I just like take another bite of bacon. Alfaris, you see anything interesting in that paper?
Not really. There's still some rumors about Brumpotungus, but other than that, nothing much.
Good.
Cameron's like, oh, you follow that Tungus stuff? Man, that is some exciting stuff. That guy, I would love to meet Brumpotungus. That guy sounds like a heck of an individual.
Kind of looks over the data pad at you. He's like, yes, Camera. He was.
Cameron, would you denounce your god if I would say he was right here in this room right now?
He squints at you. He's like, I mean, I'm curious about this Brumpotungus fellow, but... Well, I remember rule number one, so I don't figure we should have this conversation.
Rule number one, subtitle A. You can talk about your religion when asked about it by the captain, Wilbur Higgins III.
Another, and we're
more bacon.
Yeah, he nods. He's like, well, I mean... God's real close to my heart, and I like to think that Mr. Tungus, deep down in his black little heart, he's a God-fearing man too.
I kind of like look over at Alfarius, like wide-eyed, waiting for him to see if he responds.
Alfarius looks at him and is like, and then he looks back at Captain Higgs and says, "I really don't understand."
I got you. Well, anyways, this is some good bacon, Cameron. I do appreciate it. Thank you for that.
I was like, well, shucks, you're welcome. I figure I'll make myself useful now that I don't got no body to guard after all.
I just eat some more bacon. It's like quiet in the
jam.
Kitchen.
That's like the whole plate.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So he goes to freshen up the coffee or something. Okay. And, probably like around this time, Eric and Kia come back.
All right, well, let's take our break here. Then we'll find out what happens when they get back. So, take our third and final break here. Go back or come back and go into hour number four right after this. Don't go anywhere. More Roleplay Swan Song as we end week 49 right after this. We'll see you guys in just a bit.